passage of Scripture that I've chosen that I appreciate is Mark chapter 10, 13 to 16. And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. So here in Mark chapter 10, Jesus has been discussing previously the topic of divorce with the Jewish Pharisees, a very heavy topic. And immediately after, parents are bringing their young children, possibly infants, to Jesus for him to bless them. And the disciples are annoyed. Maybe the kids are crying or just with the heavy topic they were discussing. Bad timing. The disciples scold the parents, you know, "This isn't the time, and get these kids out of here." And Jesus was indignant. Jesus doesn't get angry very often, but this made him upset. "No, no, no, bring the kids to me." And he held them in his arms, touched them, and blessed them. There's a few different meanings for blessing. To bless means to praise. We bless God, we praise God. It also means to cause, to prosper, or to make happy. And then it also means to consecrate, or to set apart for divine purpose. And so it seems to be the text here seems to say that they brought the children to Jesus so that he would bless them, so that he would consecrate them, set them apart for his purpose. And I trust that is also your heart's desire too, that this morning would be a reflection of that. Your heart's desire as parents would be, first of all, to dedicate yourselves to training, to instruction, your children in God's ways, and that God would use these children that he has given to you to accomplish his purpose. I'll ask you questions. I'll ask you individually. I said I'd do it as a group, but I'll take my turn going around here. Take my names in case I forget. Jeff and Sherry, do you love the Lord your God with all your heart? And is it your desire to live for Christ in all areas of life? Yes. Will you, with God's help, provide your children, Zacchaeus and Nathaniel, a Christ-centered home, teaching them the truth of Scripture, praying for them, and committing to regular fellowship in the local church? Do you recognize that your children, Zacchaeus and Nathaniel, are a gift from God, whom God created to love and worship him? And is it your desire to dedicate your children back to God for his glory? Yes. Tyrone and Kristen, do you love the Lord your God with all your heart? And is it your desire to live for Christ in all areas of life? Will you, with God's help, provide Oliver a Christ-centered home, teaching him the truth of Scripture, praying for him, and committing to regular fellowship in the local church? Do you recognize Oliver as a gift from God, whom God created to worship and love him? And is it your desire to dedicate Oliver back to God for his glory? Randall and Camille, do you love the Lord your God with all your heart? And is it your desire to live for Christ in all areas of life? Will you, with God's help, provide Eloise a Christ-centered home, teaching her the truth of Scripture, praying for her, and committing to regular fellowship in the local church? Do you recognize Eloise as a gift from God, whom God created to love and worship him? And is it your desire to dedicate her back to God for his glory? Thank you. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, you are a good and gracious and amazing Father. And we see who your character is in Jesus Christ. And
how he placed value on children. Lord, these parents this morning want to recognize that these children are a gift from you, and we pray that you would empower them, you'd give them grace, you'd give them lots of wisdom, patience, the ability to dedicate themselves first and foremost to you, and that they would train their children to love you, to serve you, that you are the God who made them for your purpose and for your glory. And so we take this time now to dedicate, to consecrate, to set these children apart for your glory and for your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 31. The title of the message is An Excellent Wife. Proverbs 31, I'll read verse 1 and then 10 to 31. The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. Verse 10. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She rises also when it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow, for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates where he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." Last year I took up jogging. By no means I'm an avid jogger, just somewhat casually. I need to exercise. And so I started jogging, and then I injured my knee. I was off for a few months, went to physio and got that fixed up. And then I asked, "Okay, is my knee good to go? Like, can I jog again?" And he asked what I was doing, and he suggested a program, much like the Couch to 5K program. You just gradually build yourself up. So the first week you jog 1 minute, you walk for four. And the next week you slowly increase to that. In 9 weeks, you can jog 5 kilometers, which will take half an hour. And so I did that. I did it in 6 months, but I was able to jog 5 kilometers. Shortly after that, we met with some friends of ours, and they're talking about how they recently ran a half marathon. Well, my 5 kilometers seemed pretty piddly to their 21 kilometers. We recently were in Jasper, and driving around, we came across Terry Fox Mountain. And there's a plaque in memory of him, and it describes briefly his life. And for 143 days, he ran the equivalent of a marathon
every day. Every day he ran 42 kilometers on one leg. So there, half a marathon seems piddly to a marathon every day for 143 days. When we read this passage of the Proverbs woman, we call her an excellent wife, we can very easily become discouraged, especially, I'm sure, women. Women read this and think, I am nowhere near, I don't even compare, who am I to match up to who this woman is described to be? And yet Forbes magazine had an article recently about the 10 habits of incredibly happy people. One of them was they have a mindset of growth. They believe they can improve themselves with effort. When you are content, when you think that's all there is to life, you can't contribute anymore, you'll become unhappy. If you have that expectation of excelling, making yourself better, you have a mindset of happiness, of growth. And so we can see this as a challenge. We can see this as a target to aim for, to better yourself. And yet that's not the message of Proverbs. That is not what the Proverbs is intended to accomplish. What Proverbs is striving to communicate is wisdom. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom and its source, which is God. God is a source of wisdom, and from him comes the ability to accomplish a feat such as this. Let me just read Proverbs 1, the introduction, 1 to 4. The Proverbs of Solomon, the king of David, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. So we see that wisdom is intended to those who are young to gain knowledge, to gain discretion. Proverbs highlights, begins and ends with, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And here in Proverbs 31, this woman is a woman who fears the Lord as well. Verse 1 says that King Lemuel's mother taught him this. It was her desire when he was young to train him, to teach him. And so the Proverbs have many lessons in training us and equipping us in parenting, training our young children who they should be, the goal they should be as they get old. It is also probably highly possible that this wife, this woman, was intended for Lemuel or for others. This is a woman to look for in a wife. When you're looking for a life partner, this is the kind of woman, the character traits, this is what you want to look for. Proverbs uses contrast to communicate a short theme or the message. The truth is there. It's often brief, but it's used in contrast. I'll give you an example. Better is a man who walks in his integrity than he who is crooked, though he is rich. There's a contrast. Here's another one. When pride comes, then comes dishonor. But with the humble comes wisdom. And so we see also in Proverbs there is the adulterous woman. The adulterous woman is mentioned numerous times. And now at the end, contrast to that is the virtuous, the excellent woman. How can she make godly choices? How can this woman be so godly if she doesn't know God? God is the source of wisdom. God is the one who will enable you to become a wise and excellent woman. So we see the theme, a truth
from this is we need to know God, who is a source of wisdom. We need to align our wills to His, and out of that will come an excellent wife. The Bible exalts women. There seems to be in the feminist movement, in the women's lib, they want equality, they want to elevate women possibly to a higher status than men. But the Bible exalts women. God created men and women with equal value, both created in the image of God, but He has a specific role for women, as He does for men. It's a different role, but they're both of equal value. So rather than trying to compete or to fight for equality, excel in the woman that God has made you to be. I love the title that our women's ministry has called themselves, Women of Divine Design. Celebrate womanhood. Celebrate the divine design that you are, made in the image of our Creator. The underlying basis of this book is our relationship with God. Out of that grows understanding. Out of that becomes a life to judge right and wrong. It's similar to Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. A Spirit-filled life will look like this: love, joy, peace. Out of a Spirit-filled life comes the fruit of the Spirit. Quite similar too is the law in Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. Following the law of Christ, when His Spirit abides in us, the law will be completed through us. The woman who knows God, the woman who has God's wisdom in her, will look like this. One website listed 17 character traits that are mentioned here. Another source mentioned 20. I've narrowed it down to 6. And it's interesting, these 22 verses from 10 to 31, there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And so they've used that acronym with these verses. So verse 10 is A, verse 11 is B, verse 11 is C, and so on. They use it to memorize. They use it to help you to keep in memory these short little sayings with the acronym of the alphabet. And so I've chosen the acronym of wisdom. Let's look at who this woman is, using the acronym of wisdom. For W, she is a wife, an excellent wife. Verses 10 to 12, an excellent wife who can find. For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Her husband is mentioned in verse 23, and then again in verse 28, her husband praises her. She is a capable and influential and a strong wife. Gideon, in the book of Judges, when the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. The Lord is with you, valiant warrior." It's the same word that are used to describe Gideon as a mighty warrior or a valiant warrior. This woman too is a valiant or a mighty woman. She's a woman of strength. Proverbs 12 verse 4 says, "An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is like rottenness to his bones." This woman is the crown of her husband. She gives him dignity, and he is proud of her. She respects him. As a wife, it is her utmost priority, it is her goal in life, in marriage, to be a respectful wife. Verse 11 says, "The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain." The New Living Translation says, "She will greatly enrich his life." In Genesis chapter 3, after the curse, after Adam and Eve fell into sin, One of the consequences of the curse is God said to the woman, your desire shall be for your husband. In Genesis chapter 4, the word desire is used of sin desiring to conquer Cain. It seems to be that your desire will be for your husband could be translated, could be interpreted as saying your desire will be to rule him. As a result of the fall, women's desire, selfish, sinful desire, will be to rule your husband. After the cross, after the work of redemption, and the giving of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians tells wives to respect their husbands. That was God's initial design. And we see this woman as a very respectful woman. She is strong. She is influential. And she highly respects her husband. Often we see, when we see a woman who has a strong personality, you'll notice that her husband is often quiet or passive. But not in this case. Verse 23 tells us that he gathers at the city gates where he meets with the elders of the land. He is a respected man. He is also probably a strong and confident man. A man who feels confident and respected at home will most likely be strong and confident everywhere else. This woman sees the potential in her husband and she respects him and elevates him, and he is able to thrive in the community when he gathers at the gates with the elders. Like I mentioned before in Proverbs 12, verse 4, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him, she who disrespects him, is like rottenness to his bones. The crown is a symbol of praise, of dignity. So he feels proud of her, and she praises him. Verse 28 says he praises her. It's like not a vicious cycle, but it's like a healthy cycle. She respects him, and he praises her. Because she feels praised, she can respect him. Because he feels respected, he can praise her. This, I believe, is God's design for this woman. To be a woman who doesn't compete for leadership, who doesn't argue or fight with the ability to rule or to have authority over her husband. Rather, she submits, she respects, and he praises her because she is a crown to him. So we see that this woman is an excellent wife, a respectful wife. Next, we see her instruction. She has the ability to give instruction. In verse 26, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. This woman teaches, she instructs with kindness. We see in verse 1 that King Lemuel's mother taught him. The valuable life lessons that he was able to communicate, a large part came from his instruction from his mother. In Proverbs 6, verse 20, it says, do not forsake your mother's teaching. In Proverbs 10, verse 31, it says, the mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom. Again, we see with the reflection, we see the explanation that this woman is a righteous woman. She knows God. And out of that comes wisdom. The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom. This woman has the ability to instruct. And she uses that to instruct her children, to bless those around her with godly wisdom. S is for her spiritual life. In verse 30, we see charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. What does fear mean? What does it mean to fear the Lord? It means awe, reverence, worship, obedience. It's the opposite of arrogance. If you are proud and arrogant and self-reliant, there is no fear of God within you. When you have humility, when you have a desire to obey and to worship out of a reverence for God, you are one who fears the Lord. This woman has a reverence for God, and it comes out in love and obedience. It also means to hate evil. We are told in Proverbs, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. This woman has a strong spiritual life because she fears the Lord and she hates evil. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we're told that don't strive for beauty with makeup and with outward adornments of jewelry. Rather, the beauty that comes from an inner self, a gentle and quiet spirit. This woman has a gentle and quiet spirit. She has inner beauty because we see that outward beauty is fleeting. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. As I mentioned before, that this is highly likely instruction for young men to look for a woman. And so the instruction is, what kind of woman to look for? Remember, charm is deceitful. I'm sure we've all heard this saying, I met this really good guy, I met this really good girl, and you find out, are they Christian? No, but they're really nice. Charm is deceitful. True value comes from knowing God. That's what you're looking for, a woman who has a heart for God, a woman who fears God, who loves Him. Beauty is vain. Yeah, we appreciate beauty. We appreciate the natural beauty that God has created in women. But that too is vain. Don't make that your primary focus. This woman has a strong spiritual life because she fears the Lord. And that's where beauty comes from. Her husband says, in verse 29, many daughters have done noble things, but you excel them all. You are the best. This is the kind of woman that he is pleased with. A woman who fears the Lord. Beauty is fleeting, charm is deceptive, but an inner self, an inner beauty that comes from a gentle and quiet spirit, which comes from the Lord, that is a prize. That's the kind of woman that he is to look for, and that's the kind of woman that resembles a godly woman, a woman of wisdom. We can't help but recognize the strength that she has. I mentioned before that an excellent wife is the same word that's often used for valiant, for mighty, for strength, for wealth. This woman has strength that comes from the Lord. In Psalm 18, verse 32, it says, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. This woman is an excellent wife. She's a woman of strength because it is God who has armed her with strength. Elsewhere in Psalms, we're told, with God we shall gain the victory, and He will trample down our enemies. And so we see this woman, she lives a disciplined life. This woman is a woman of character, of hard work, of ethics, of discipline, but also a strong dependence on God. Because that is her source of strength. In her spiritual life, this woman is a strong woman because she fears the Lord and she has strength that comes from God. S is for her spiritual life. D is for destitute. How does she treat those who are destitute? In verse 20, she extends her hands to the poor and stretches out her hands to the needy. King Lemuel's mother taught him in verse 8, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge rightly, and defend the rights of the afflicted and the needy. She instilled in him a heart for the poor, for the needy, for the destitute. Again, the 10 habits of incredibly happy people. I'll get it eventually. They help others. If you want to be somebody who is happy, help others. It says it gives you a surge of oxytocin and serotonin and dopamine, all of which create a good feeling. When you help others, it gives you a good feeling. And what does the Bible say? She extends her hands to the poor. She helps the needy. Also, that long phrase, 10 habits of happy people. They spend money on other people. Research shows that it makes you much happier spending it on others than spending it on yourself. Proverbs 14:21 says, and get this, happy is he who is gracious to the poor. If you want to be happy, give to the poor. And that's what this woman does. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. This woman has a heart for the destitute, for the poor. And that's what makes her the woman that she is. O is for occupation. What does she do for a living? Her occupation is mentioned in verse 13, 16, 19, 17 and 18, 22, 24. She is not a lazy woman. She is not idle. She gets up early. She does lots of sewing and weaving. Sewing is mentioned in verse 13, 19, 22, 24. In verse 13, it says, she rises while it is still night and gives food to her household. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She works with her hands in delight. She's sewing in verse 13. She's sewing in verse 19. She's sewing in verse 22. She's sewing in verse 24. She's sewing and weaving and sewing and weaving. When will it ever end? And works with her hands in delight. She loves her job because she does it as unto the Lord. Colossians 3, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. This woman's occupation is largely consumed with providing, with sewing, with taking care of her family. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. She's not lazy. And she delights in it. She finds joy in it. Because she does it as unto the Lord. That is her occupation. Finally, M is for mother. Her role as a mother. In verse 14, we're told that she brings food from afar. In the days before fridges, the days before grocery stores, that to walk who knows how far to gather food. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She's a provider. She provides for her children, for her household. In today's world, it seems that motherhood is often looked down on. And yet the motherhood, according to God's word, is highly elevated. This woman is a woman of wisdom because she places motherhood as a top priority. She provides for her family. That's her God-given role, to be a mother. And she takes it diligently, she takes it seriously, she works hard at providing for her family. She also demonstrates acts of service. I'm sure lots Probably all mothers demonstrate love with an act of service. I heard from folks in the family. They're talking to Gary Chapman, the author of Love Languages, and he had gone to visit the prisons and describing the love languages. And afterward, an inmate came to him and said, "That all makes sense. I finally understand that my mom did really love me." Because his love language would have been touch. He wanted affection from his mom, and he never got that. And so he thought that his mom didn't love him. But her acts, her love language was acts of service. And that's how she demonstrated her love, by acts of service. My mom is the example of acts of service. When we were kids, we took it for granted. We sit around the table. Oh, where's the milk? She'd jump up and get that. Oh, I need a fork. She'd jump up and get that. We took it for granted. It wasn't until my sister-in-law joined her family, and she saw what was happening and told my brother, "You can get the ketchup." We just took this for granted because Mom served. My wife, too, she took the test recently. You can go online, the Love Languages test, and acts of service is one of the ways that she communicates love as well. And she is such a servant as well. So women, don't take the role of motherhood lightly. Don't take it as a less than superior, an inferior position. God elevates, God highly praises motherhood. In verse 31, we're told, "Give her the reward, give her the product of her hands, let her works praise her in the gates." The NIV says, "Give her the reward she has earned." Mothers need to be rewarded. We as men, as children, as husbands, have the privilege of honoring, of rewarding our mothers, our wives. Do that. Verse 31 says, "Give her the product of her hands. Give her the reward she has earned." In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, we're told, "Husbands, show her honor." Honor your mothers. Honor your wives. As much as this woman is elevated, as much as this seems to be the target, the goal of what a godly woman looks like, we can't miss out Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says, "It is because of Him, God, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God." Jesus has become for us wisdom from God. Paul told the Galatians that he desires that Christ is formed in them. In Romans chapter 8, Paul wants the Christians to be conformed to the image of his Son. Jesus is a model to strive for. Jesus is a model that we are to exemplify. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that we are being transformed into His likeness. The work of the Holy Spirit is transforming us, is transforming mothers and women into the image of His Son. It is Jesus who is the model. It is Jesus who is at work in our lives, and He will conform you into the image of Himself. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, God, for mothers. Thank you for your word, that we have instructions, we have communication from you of what you desire women to be, mothers to be. And Father, we know that without you, we can do nothing, but with you, by the work of your Spirit, who dwells within them, they can become this woman of wisdom. And so I pray that for this morning, the women that are here, the mothers that are here, that you'd empower them with wisdom, with strength, and by your grace and by your Spirit to enable them to live righteous and God-fearing and wise lives. I pray your blessing upon mothers. Help us as men, as children, to reward them, to give them the honor that is due them today. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.